Today is December 10th, 2017. This is Mobius Podcast number 234. Three-digit sequence in series until podcast number 345, and that's a long ways away.
Yeah, about a year and a half or so at our usual pace, so...
Yeah.
In the middle of 2019, we will have to shout out about how it's the next sequential podcast.
Yeah, and it'll be getting further and further out, so that'll be kind of sad. At some point, we won't make it to the next. I won't make it to the next one. In any case, one's not a rant, just kind of an observation. Second one's a rant. So, past podcast guests, Paul Lawler, Ricky Lee, and I actually got together in person for lunch last week. And I know, what a concept, right? We met in meet space. And we decided to try to record a mini podcast in person, about 5 minutes long. So we fired up Zoom.us. Paul has an account there. We fired up Zoom.us. And we each had a mic. Ricky even had a lav. He had a lav mic on. He was fancy. Unfortunately, the mics are, at least one of the mics is omnidirectional. I had an iPhone earbud on and earpod on. The standard thing you get with your iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Ricky had a lav, and Paul was using some microphone. Might have been another Apple with a mini plug microphone on his notebook, he was using to run Zoom.us. Any case, there was too much bleed, and so there's a horrendous, horrendous echo. Because as John and I have had to deal with in the past, when you're talking on Skype, you're not really talking in real time. You're talking about a half a second behind. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes there's a little delay between the time, somebody says something and there's a response. And often that's the reason, because this lag between what's actually being said and when a person hears it and can respond to it. And I'm only recording from my end, so you'll hear a lag. Some people do some fancy stuff where they record on all the different panelists' computers simultaneously, and then you bring down the multiple audio files and you sync them up, and then you won't get a lag. But that's we're too cheap to do that. Anyway, so I did find a filter for Audacity that is supposed to reduce the echo. However, I'm having problems installing the filter. I don't know why. It should be simple, but it's not showing up in Audacity. So I'll try it. One of these days, you might hear a 5-minute mini podcast of Paul Lawler, Ricky Lee, and me sitting around a lunch table. Outdoors one, so it's pretty noisy, but we'll see how it goes.
Or it will never be heard because a higher power took it as a large offense that you did not invite me to lunch as well.
That is possible.
Yeah.
That is possible. So. Oh, we're just considered part of the Conspiracy Views podcast. And
could be.
Yeah, then nobody ever hears it. Okay, my mini rant. And I guess it's it's not unexpected. So I've had a Pogo plug, which is a early generation... hard drive or storage sharing thing. It's not a NAS, it's not a SAN, it's its own thing. And basically you plug in your USB storage device into it and it becomes accessible over your network. Now, not being a SAN or a NAS really depends on logging into Pogo Plug, on the net. And then it somehow gives you access to your local device inside of your firewall. And this has worked reasonably well for, like I said, I don't know, I've had it probably 10 years, maybe more, I'm not sure. But earlier this year, they said they're going to turn off their cloud storage, which I don't use. Again, I'm only storing locally. But I didn't think they were going to turn off their local access. It looks like they have, because I haven't been able to reach my internal Pogo plug for a week or two now. It says server not available whenever I try to log in. So I'm going to have to find another alternative. I think one of my access points or my routers has a USB storage plug on it. So I'll see if any of those will do the trick. But it's kind of sad because the Pogo plug actually worked pretty well. They also had an app or apps for various mobile devices. So when you're out of your home, you could log into your account and access your local store without having to do any firewall tweaking. Basically, they do the firewall tweaking for you, so that was kind of nice.
I had a similar product about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that was made by Linksys. Mm. It was the NSLU-2, and people just, because it was, well, people called it the slug, because NSLU, and then, but it was a very low-powered little device that had two USB ports on it and an Ethernet port.
Yeah.
The problem was it never really worked all that well.
Oh.
It was very underpowered. The enthusiast community, once these went on deep discount, the enthusiast community bought them up, and you could reflash them with all different firmwares and try to get them up and running. And some people had crazy things running off of them, you know, little mini servers for things around the house, whatever. But all of that was pretty much blown away by the time Raspberry Pi 2 or 3 came out, when it was much easier to just go buy a Raspberry Pi than try to find one of these NSLU two devices, although you can still find an enthusiast community for them. But it was a good example of how the early generation network-attached storage forays with external hard drives, some were really good, like your Poco plug, some were horrible, like the Linksys.
Yeah. Anyway, so as I said, I was going to say it's a rant, but really it served its purpose for quite a while. I guess I should be surprised it's lasted this long. And I got my money's worth out of it. I'm not as upset as, say, people like, oh, didn't you have like a credit card system that's being turned off? Like Coin.
Oh yeah, Coin died, and then the one I backed, I lost my money on that too. The successor to Coin, the one that had the full e-ink screen on the front across the front of it, plastic.
Yeah.
That was kind of annoying. But you know what? I've made peace with that, because with the proliferation of contactless and mobile payment, to the point that if I really tried, if I pushed for it, the majority of places I go, I could probably pay contactless now.
That's true.
So I don't really see it as annoying as it once was, because my phone has pretty much become all my credit cards.
Yeah.
Apple Pay, and if you're on Amazon or on Android, you can use Google Pay, you can use Samsung Pay. And if you don't mind being in 1,000 different ecosystems, even these companies like Walmart and Target that have created their own payment systems, you could use them too. You just have a ton of different ecosystems that your credit card information is hooked up to. But that's generally a one-time thing. So once you get it hooked up, as long as you don't worry about the security concerns of that particular company, so open any app and pay. I actually this week went to our newly renovated McDonald's here and used their mobile kiosk. Instead of ordering at the counter, you go in, you punch on a big screen what you want, and then I paid with Apple Pay, and my order was ready in a couple moments. And they even are doing pickup now, where you can order ahead, and then when you get there, there's a little drive that you pull into, and you go on your app and you say, I'm in parking spot number 2 or whatever.
What?
And they bring out the food to you. Yeah.
So it's not a drive to, a through. It's a drive to.
Yeah.
I don't think we have that here.
McDonald's is doing amazing things in terms of trying to, appeal to the millennial market and also be everything for everyone. So, they haven't lost any of their traditional menu items, but they have a whole bunch of menu items now that I never order, because I really don't order much at McDonald's anyway. I order coffee the majority of the time I'm there. But you've got that. Then you've got these, crazy ordering options where you can order the old-fashioned way at the window or at the counter, or you can order on your phone before you walk in. You can order at the kiosk when you're there. I give them a lot of credit. They brought table service to our local McDonald's, so you
can
come in and sit down and tell them I have table tent number 57 or whatever, and they'll bring it over to you. So it's
now two questions. Have you noticed if your local McDonald's has Wi-Fi? I think ours do. Or at least most of them.
Yeah, I believe ours does.
Okay, and my second question, and this is a real diversion. There's almost no tech behind this. You're in Mississippi, as I recall.
Yes.
Does your McDonald's have any local Mississippi specific dishes that it serves?
Our McDonald's, so the local franchise around here in the Delta, which owns about 20-some McDonald's, their big thing is they actually make biscuits by scratch.
Oh.
So our biscuits are pretty good. They're better than most McDonald's biscuits I've had. So, yeah, that's the one difference we have, and that you can get them all day. So, okay, so
there's
the
no, like... There's no, like, fighting okra specials at McDonald's.
No, no, there really should be, but there is not. The fighting okra, for those that don't follow the podcast too much, is the unofficial mascot of Delta State University. Okay. Official unofficial mascot. Yeah.
In Hawaii, by the way, the local McDonald's has a lot of local, well, I don't know about a lot, but they have local, you know, local flavored foods, like we have, you know, taro pies and... We have Portuguese sausage and eggs, which is, you know, you would never have anywhere else in the U.S., I think. Okay, enough of a non-tech digression.
Well, it is tech because there is a McDonald's app, and they have their own payment systems.
Well, I didn't know there was a McDonald's app.
Yeah, there is. Okay. It's and it's been updated for iOS 10, so 11,
Drive the iPhone 10. Okay. I like it. That's pretty neat. Yeah,
create your order from anywhere and pick it up whenever you're ready.
I wonder if any... I have to check if somewhere in Hawaii it supports it. I've not heard of that. And somebody would have mentioned it to me, just, you know, because of the tech aspect of it. Okay, now speaking of pain with your Apple device, I don't know if you got it. I just got it today, but I think it's been out for a week. Apple Watch OS 4.2?
Yep.
And one of the things it adds to your watch is Apple Pay Cash. Mm-hmm. Which allows you, I've never tried it, but allows you to send money to somebody via Apple Pay. I guess, you know, like if you're out to dinner and you split the cost, but somebody pays, you can send your share of it to that person using Apple Pay Cash. You ever used it? I haven't. I've never used Apple Pay.
I haven't used Apple Pay Cash, but I have used Apple Pay quite a bit, and okay. I'm pretty happy with Apple Pay.
So apparently it works through messages or by asking Siri, U.S. only. Okay, U.S. only.
Can I say, Siri, give me money from so-and-so?
I don't know.
I mean, if you say it works through Siri, I should be like, hey, Siri, go find... Go find so-and-so and pay me some money out of their pocket.
Hey, Siri, all right, give me one share of... of Berkshire Hathaway Class A.
Excellent pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't tell Siri to buy any Bitcoin these days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a whole nother story, and I don't understand enough about Bitcoin to really have a knowledgeable opinion, let's put it that way.
I'm like most of the world, where I am 50% convinced Bitcoin is complete and utter nonsense, and the other 50% convinced that maybe it's the currency of the future. So, yeah.
And also, I think too bad we didn't mine it, like, you know, when it started.
yeah, but you know, I often wonder about that stuff. This is completely on a non-tech front as well, but I often think about opportunity cost. You know, I wasn't mining Bitcoin, but I was finishing a PhD. You know, what is going to be more beneficial to me in my career over my life and my life satisfaction, Bitcoin or
money.
Education? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Well, as the old song once said by, who wrote it? I think the founder of Motown wrote it. Anyway, money can't buy everything, it's true, but what money can't buy, I can't use.
I'll quote the always prescient Weird Al Yankovic with a line from "This Is the Life," his song from the early '80s. That was, they say money can't buy happiness, so I guess I'll have to rent it.
I like it. Okay, so in addition to Apple Pay Cash, WatchOS 4.2 adds support for HomeKit sprinklers and faucets. I'm not too the idea of it controlling water scares me.
I've never thought of HomeKit faucets, but I guess too. I understand why you would use them if you had,
mobility issues or something.
Yeah, or just you had an outdoor faucet that you wanted to turn on the hose and it was attached to a sprinkler or something like that.
Yeah, but. Or your hands are muddy and you don't want to muddy up your
And you just want to yell at Siri to do everything. We're just going to be ordering Siri around for everything, aren't we?
I know. It's because Siri someday is going to revolt. And it's going to be like Planet of the Apes. It'll be Planet of the Siri, you know?
It's going to turn your faucet on or turn your faucet off and turn on the stove.
That's the next movie. Planet of the Siris. When Siris attack. Okay. My phone was responding. It also adds support. I don't understand this. Okay. It adds support for new workout type for third-party apps to track distance, average speed, number of runs, elevation descended for downhill snow sports with Apple Watch Series 3. So only works this one only with Apple Watch Series 3, and I guess it works with third-party things. That's kind of neat about the downhill stuff, you know? Elevation descent for downhill snow sports.
A new genre of fail video where someone goes flying down a mountain and tumbling end over end. And in the split screen, it's got the live data tracking of what it's receiving back from the person's Apple Watch.
That would be pretty cool. In fact, I hope Apple sponsors the Winter Olympics is coming up in 2 months, month and a half. I hope Apple has sponsored a bunch of athletes with Apple Watches so we can see, you know, get the remote telemetry on them. It'd be interesting, for example, to see heart rate, if people going down the luge or something like that. Or maybe they're so calm, you know, their heart rate goes down, which would be interesting. For us, we'd be like probably near bursting as we're nearly frightened.
I want to see that, but I want to also see the inclusion of random jump scares. So, you know, you're just going down this mountain, everything looks peaceful, and then a Yeti just jumps out from behind a tree and, you know.
Well, you know, the Winter Olympics is going to be held in South Korea, and not to make light of it, but they are in high security for obvious reasons.
That's true.
The last item is a bug fix, and this one is interesting because I have not run into this, thankfully. It says it resolves an issue where Apple Watch would sometimes restart when asking Siri about the weather. And I guess I never asked.
That sounds very passive-aggressive of Siri.
Yeah, and you know, it's Attack of Planet of the Siri, right? So... That's the start. It's the start of the revolt. But that's the
speaking of weather
contest.
Speaking of weather and Apple Watches, I bought the app that people always talk about when you talk about weather, and that is Carrot.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Carrot is the app that will give you very snarky forecasts.
So how do you spell it?
Carrot.
Like the vegetable.
The food.
Yeah.
But you can tell Carrot what kind of AI you would like. And, of course, I turned on the AI that is very profane.
Yikes.
So today it's sunny out, and I'm looking at my watch and it says, you don't even want to know what I did with all the clouds. But I guess there's an ominous nature of that. And yesterday it was windy, and the forecast was it's blanking windy. It was just a... very straightforward sort of thing. So it's, if you're going to have some fun with your weather, I might as well do that, especially since it's cold here for one of the few times in the year.
I should know that it's not cheap for an app. At least it's $5 in the app store.
It does have a lot of information, though. And it will get information for $3 a year. It'll get information from Dark Sky as well. So if you're looking for something that's a little more full-featured than Dark Sky, and definitely more full-featured than your... standard stock weather app. I have had a lot of fun and it's just fun to open it up and see what random thing it says, because it really plays up the fact that it's an AI and it's living in your phone. So right now mine is reading the ever creepy sort of thing that says, your hair looks so soft.
Well, and there is a $12 bundle from Carrot. They do other apps. And let's see, in this bundle, it's Carrot Weather, Carrot Fit, which is a 7-minute workout and weight tracker, Carrot Sticker Pack. I don't know what's in there. Carrot To Do, Talking Task List, and Carrot Alarm, Talking Alarm Clock. So you can get all five apps for $12, or you can get just the weather app for $12. Yeah, $12. And $5 just for weather app. So I don't know. If the other apps interest you, might be worth spending $12. I don't know. I'm still pretty happy with Dark Sky, which is the only weather app I've ever paid for. Okay, I shall add that to our little list. Um, Next up is something else, another cloud service being turned off.
Cloud dissipation.
Cloud dissipation. Is Google, you know, the killer of things, Google is shutting down Chrome apps. I think the store's already closed, maybe. And I should note that Chrome apps are different from Chrome extensions or plugins, I guess. And I really didn't think much of it, you know. I said, well, I don't know if I even use any Chrome apps. I haven't gotten any warnings that, you know, my app will be turned off. I think next year. So it still runs, but if you have any Chrome apps, but the Chrome itself will turn off Chrome apps capability in your browser, I think, sometime in the next upgrade next year. And again, I didn't think much of it until a mutual friend of ours told me, and when I posted something in Facebook about the shutdown, said, hey, you know, he's got like an app that has 250,000 users, and he's getting 100 email messages a day complaining about the loss of his app. So, it does affect more than a few people, but, you know, in Google, the math for Google is 250,000 is zero.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep, very true.
So, anyway, it's upsetting some people, but not enough to upset Google. And as you and I have kind of complained bitterly many times in the past, Google shuts down a lot of things we like, including Google Feed and services like that.
You know, if the marketing folks at Google, Microsoft, and Apple ever got together and decided to go full evil, they could release the exact same tagline for all three companies.
Oh?
And that was, we're killing it, and what are you going to do about it, punk? Because that's really the attitude that all three have. And it uses to see people picking on just one of the three for doing it. But all three of them have great track records of introducing something, getting a somewhat okay following, but not good enough for them, and just saying, well, we're just going to kill it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it, punk?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's some that even had millions of users, like Orkut.
Yeah.
Right? Their social, their only really popular social thing. Never popular in English-speaking language countries, but it was very popular in other countries. And had millions of users, and they said, hey, you know, we're shutting it down. Want to try something? Make my day.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do about it? You going to stop using us? Yeah. Didn't think so.
Yeah. So, at any rate, say goodbye to Google Chrome apps. Not extensions, not plugins. I guess it's really disappointing to some people. Mm-hmm. It's not the least of which is our friend Rocco, who has this, I think it's a popular app if you have 250,000 users. In the old days, that would have been called a hit. These days, not so much. And the next thing is, Google frequently associates special offers if you buy one of their hardware products. I remember when I bought the Google Chromecast, the first one came out. Oh, gosh, what did it include? I think it included like 3 months of free Netflix or something that you could add on to an existing account. If you have a Chromebook, if you bought a Chromebook this year, there are a couple of things that were immediately available when you bought the Chromebook earlier this year. And if, for example, I took advantage of the 100 gigabytes of storage to my existing account for 2 years. And that was just basically say, hey, I bought a Chromebook. It identifies your Chromebook, says you're okay with the offer, and it gave me that. It also had things I couldn't use, and that was a couple, 3 months or so of free Google Play Music. And that one didn't tack onto an existing account for whatever reason. But more recently, I just found this out through some blog, I forget which one, it might have been Android Police or something, that Google just added 6 months of free Netflix, which can be applied to your existing account if you have a Chromebook. So I went in on my Chromebook, and it looks at your device and says, yep, you're okay. And so I got 6 months of Netflix free. And this is really handy because Netflix just sent me an email saying they're going to raise the price of my service to, I think I'm paying like $8.99 a month or something. It's going to go up to $11.99 a month for, you know, the two stream, the standard basically, it's two stream, streaming only service. So good deal. 6 months, you know, times 12. Something like that. $72. Save $72. The offer expires December 31st. So if you're listening to this before the end of 2017 and you have a Chromebook, I'll have a link in our show notes on mobileviews.com where you can go and click on it and get to the all the Chromebook offers, not just this one.
Very cool.
Stay. Now, you still have not bought a Chromebook, I believe.
No, but my Netflix is going up as well, so, you know, I might... This is sounding more and more appealing. My Netflix... I still am one of the weird people who has a DVD plan with Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yours is like, what, $16 a month or something?
I pay like $47,000 a year. I mean, it's around $25, $26 a month.
Oh, that's expensive.
Yeah, but...
So wow, and like, you have a red thing, red envelope. And it's not a Starbucks cup.
No. And the funny thing is, my wife uses Netflix a lot more than I do the DVDs, so
right?
I truly have no idea what is in this red envelope right. That's been sitting on my desk for probably 2 or 3 weeks now. Let's see, what movie am I going to be... Oh, The Lost World, Jurassic Park. I haven't seen that in about... 20 years since it came out, so that's apparently I decided to watch that again at some point.
Yeah. Interesting. And there are a lot of movies that are not available for streaming that they do have available for DVD.
Yep, so, very true. I use it for certain TV shows that I would like to get the series of and watch the DVD version after the fact that are not full version on Hulu or anything like that, even right. TV shows that are current. So.
Right. And it's funny, there's one really old TV show that I wanted to watch a while back called JAG. I don't know if you remember that. It was a spinoff from NCIS. Or is it? No, it's reverse. NCIS is a spinoff from JAG. And the first season is available for free on Amazon Prime. But none of the other seasons are. I think it went like 10 seasons or something. And it's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's on Hulu. I don't have Hulu. But anyway, there are some series that aren't available anywhere that you can probably get on DVD from Netflix, anyway. And the last item I have, and this is a disclaimer because I have a free reviewer's copy, is an app I've heard of before, but you know I just don't buy a lot of apps for my, or let's call it software, applications. I reserve apps for mobile devices. I don't buy a lot of software for my Mac or PC these days. With the exception of maybe Microsoft Office subscription, which I am loath to pay for, but I do. But anyway, PhotoLemur sent me a link saying, hey, if you want to try it, here's a code to get a full copy. So I said, why not? And so it's available for Mac OS and Windows. I downloaded the Mac OS version. I think the license is good for either one. It's $29 for one device license, $49 for five device license. And what it is it's something that most people with an iPhone and Android would take for granted. It's an app that enhances your photo very simply. You know, there's not a lot of fussing. You don't need to be you don't need to know how to combine stacks of photos to create a high definition, whatever, high dynamic range photo or anything like that. You basically plop it into the app and it fixes it. And there's no really dials and knobs to tweak. I think there's one slider that lets you modify the amount of modification it makes. In other words, is it too bright, too sharp, whatever. But anyway, it does it all for you. Sharpening, contrast, saturation, all of that. It's just one boom. You click it, you bring it into it, and it just does it. There's no adjustments. If you have an iPhone or an Android device or an iPad or something, you can probably do this for pretty close to free, say 99 cents, a couple of bucks. So why would you pay $29 or $49 for this? And I would say there's only two reasons. One, you don't have an iPhone or Android device or iPad, and you have no apps to modify your photos to make them look nicer. Or two, and this is the one that's more interesting, I think, is that if you're doing a batch of photos, like let's say, for example, I scanned a bunch of photos. By photos, I mean paper photos, for those of you who remember these things. I scanned a bunch of them a while back, and, like photos, some of them faded. Some of them, in general, weren't that colorful to begin with because, I was using a cheap point-and-shoot camera or something. You can bring a bunch of photos or scanned photos as a batch, and you'll just do them all at once. And that's kind of nice. So if you've got, you know, like an album that you've scanned with hundreds of photos or even dozens of photos, and you just want to kind of pop them to make the colors look nicer and make them a little sharper, this might be a reasonable thing to do, to use. $29 if you're going to do a couple hundred photos all at once, I think that'd be worth it. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking, when was the last time I bought, apps for my Mac OS or Windows device? And aside from my yearly Office 365 subscription, I can't think of the last time. There's just not much need to buy software anymore. It's kind of weird. Everything's in the browser.
Yeah, that's true. It is a weird world. I purchased recently, I also purchased Office 365, but that was only because I was able to get it at a good rate. Mm. But I don't buy a lot of desktop software anymore either. I used to buy more. I buy stuff off the Mac App Store that are nostalgic sorts of things. So Grand Theft Auto 3 and SimCity 4 and The Sims 2 and stuff like that. I have those just to have them to be able to download and play when I feel like it.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I was thinking, speaking of buying things, buying software for the desktop, I was thinking about buying Sid Meier's Civilization. You know,
of course.
Because someday I'm going to forget or be careless and accidentally upgrade my iPad Pro from, you know, from its current, what is it, 9, 10, whatever it is, 10, I guess, to 11, and Civilization will stop working, and I'll be sad and unable to play it. I should note that Civilization 2, which I don't like, was recently updated to 64-bit, so it will run in iOS 11. So if you liked Civilization 2 and you're disappointed it stopped working when you upgraded your device to iOS 11, you can now play it again. Personally, I don't like it, so even though I have it, I'm not going to play it. And I really wish EA would get off their duff and talk to the developers in China. Fireys? I forget what they're called. But Fire Axis or something like that. And ask, you know, and pay them to update it, because I'm sure a lot of people like me would prefer to play it. And I would be willing to pay again for it to get an updated version. I'd be willing to pay $8 or whatever I paid for the original one again to get an updated version that'll run under iOS 11. But at any rate, another mini rant.
Yep.
Down the rabbit hole. Any gift picks coming up for the holiday season that you have to offer?
That is a good question. Let me look quickly through what, you know, I always do this by looking at what I am getting people already.
Which is a good idea, actual gifts.
Yeah. I did find on ThinkGeek, they had a very interesting Bluetooth speaker that looked like a stereo system from the 70s, miniature. Oh, that's funny. So that was kind of a fun one. I picked that up for someone on my list. Really, gift-wise, you got to go with some of the big hits from this year. If you really like someone, iPad Pro or a iPhone or an Apple Watch, I think you wouldn't go wrong with any of those. If they're onto the Google ecosystem, I would go with the Pixel 2. I mean, that's really the kind of standards. And when I think about what 2017 brought us in terms of technology, I think it was a very cohesive sort of whatever ecosystem you're in, you can have all the bits and pieces. So,
yeah, this is a very good year for mobile device fans, I think. I mean,
I'm seeing a lot of what I would consider set making. You know, you see people talking about, well, I finally have the Apple Watch.
And that's me.
Now they have AirPods, Apple Watch, and iPhone, and they, you know, kind of enjoy how those sync together and work together. So that's what I would encourage people to think about is, if you're buying a gift, see what would – first of all, see what would best fit with what the person already has versus just deciding arbitrarily that, well, I like this operating system, so I'm going to get them, you know, the same thing.
Right.
Because they do fit together best if they usually are made by the same people.
Right. And I have to say, you know, about the Pixel 2, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Pixel 2's camera is amazing. I mean, it is far better than my iPhone 7 Plus. I don't know how it compares to an 8 Plus or 10, because I don't have access to any of those. But perhaps I should talk to one of my friends and we should do a side-by-side photo shoot to see what it looks like. But I have been incredibly impressed by the Pixel 2. Not the 2 XL, but the Pixel 2, the smaller device's camera. The detail I can see in the photo compared to, like fur on a pet. You know, fur, in our case, a rabbit. You can see individual strands of fur where, because the fur is so dark in other photos, it's just a blob, right? I mean, it's pretty good in an iPhone 7 Plus, but it is just amazingly detailed on the Pixel 2. On a cheaper note, since John likes to go for high-end, I'll go for a kind of medium-low-end. I just happened to go to Costco Center of Technology and picked up the 128GB SanDisk Ultra Dual Drive USB Type-C. And what it means by dual drive is it's not two drives, it's one drive. But it's got a USB Type-C connector on one end and a USB Type-A, which is the large rectangular connector that, you know, most notebooks, except for the Macs, have on the other end. So you can plug it into either one. There's an Android app for it called SanDisk Memory Zone that lets you apparently back up an Android device. I haven't opened it yet, obviously. It's still in its giant Costco packaging. But since I have a mere 64 gigs on my Pixel 2, they should be able to back up the whole phone, you know, which locally without Wi-Fi or anything. So that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. I think the only problem I ever had with SanDisk on that is that the iXtend USB drive that I have, the app just could never get my actual iPhone photos backed up. But it is great when I have something that I need to move from cloud to USB drive to put on, say, a shared computer.
Yeah,
I can do that from my phone, you know, download it off the cloud, put it on the iXtend drive, and then pop off the drive off my phone and plug it into the computer, and there it is.
Right. And for whatever technical reason, which I won't pretend to understand, iOS devices are difficult to do file manipulations with, because it's really not designed to have direct file access to the end user, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even plugging it into a Windows PC without iTunes on it, and you're supposed to be able to see it as a USB drive, and all you can access are the photos and videos. You can't access any of the app data because it's sandboxed. Yeah, but even getting to the photos is tricky. You know, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. When you plug in, it's a real crapshoot, as they say. But anyhow, yeah, so I would say that's one of my picks. Everything else John said, absolutely agree, especially the iPad Pro 10.5, which is an amazing device. I am running 11 on that one because I bought another iPad Pro just so I didn't have to upgrade my first one.
Seems perfectly sane.
Yeah, and of course, in a perfect world, one of our gift recommendations this year would be a brand new iPad. Sorry. Would be a brand new iMac Mini. I'm sorry, brand new Mac Mini, or
one of those things.
Yeah, brand new Mac Mini, but there is no such thing as a brand new Mac Mini. There's just the old Mac Minis on sale, sold by Apple, or the mythical and legendary iPad Mini Pro, with support for Apple Pencil, which I would love to have one.
I don't think you're ever gonna see it. I'm sorry.
I don't think so either. Okay, with the holidays coming up, I'm not sure what our podcast schedule is going to be, but we plan to have probably at least one more, John. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one or two.
We definitely will have at least one more.
Yeah, before the end of the calendar year, and I may supplement it with some local friends who might be available, or non-local friends who might be available. We'll see, and maybe that legendary mini podcast we recorded in person, that Ricky and Paul and I recorded in person, will get de-echoified and posted at some point in the near future. I'll probably work on that today sometime. In any case, thank you, John. This brings to an end my Mobilese Podcast 234, and we will probably see you before the end of the year. Thank you all.